from the Holy Spirit over in heaven. I want to welcome all of you, to some of you for the first time, and some of you for the second time. I hope there's nobody here for the third time, but if you are, but it's good, it's a blessing. I want to welcome you to our first class of the new year, and I hope and I pray that you can strengthen your relationship with the Lord and your love for God in these next 2 years, to grow spiritually. And just like anything we do, we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to do things to have growth. There has to be growth in our life. So also with this, we have to put time and effort into it to kind of get you into being, I'm not going to say a servant, because I don't want this course to be considered as a course to be a servant prep, like a preparation. I know we call it that, but this is actually what we teach here is literally ABC. Like, this knowledge we should already have. You're 15, you're 18, you're 20, you're 30, whatever, however old you are, you should have all this knowledge already. This is very, very basic ABC knowledge of the Lord, of the Bible, of the church, of the history, of the mysteries, of the dogma, of all that. So this is something very, very simple. So I want you to look at it as a chance to grow with the Lord. Okay? Not so much serving, because you don't have to serve the way I serve or the way they serve the Sundays. There's many different types of services, and we'll talk about that as we go on throughout the next 2 years. And you're probably thinking, 2 years is a very long time. But actually, the class that just graduated, I interviewed each one. They have an exit interview before they leave, like before we graduate them. I keep a whole folder. Actually, Dr. Mary keeps a whole folder on the person, their quizzes, their tests, their assignments, their attendance, their attitude, their Facebook, their way that they dress, any improvements throughout the 2 years. And so I get a chance, the blessing of discussing this with them at the end of the 2 years. And then based on what they've done, then we will decide, Abuna and I, with the advice of Dr. Mary and Dr. Mariam, if that person is suitable for what type of service. We want to give everybody a service. Okay? But it doesn't have to be a Sunday school service. It could be I have people doing Urban service. Okay? So maybe it'll be assigned to be an Urban maker. Okay? Who knows? So there's many different types of services. So again, it's not about becoming a Sunday school teacher. Okay? It's about increasing your love for the Lord. You're here to learn how to love God. And that's what we want. Okay? One of the saints said, love God and do whatever you want. Love God and do whatever you want. And that's the key, to love God first. So, like everything, we have a mission statement. So we prepared this mission statement, all of us, and we came up with this. And I'm going to go through this one by one, and I want you to kind of like give me a little bit of attention to kind of see what we can do or what our goal here is for this year. The mission of the Servants Preparation Class is to provide the participants, who are you, with a solid Orthodox Christian education, enabling them to grow in faith, in knowledge, and in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, this course is designed to increase your knowledge of the Lord, okay? Which means it's going to require you to have a little bit of time where you can read. Like Dr. Mary, I just heard her say about a reading assignment of how many chapters? A whole book of Esther, okay? Which is, don't panic. Not a big deal, it's not that big. And if you break it up over 14 days, it'll probably be like what? A chapter or two a day. Really simple. But the idea here is that you have to grow in your knowledge of God. The only way you're going to get to know who God is by reading about Him, experiencing Him. talking with Him. And this is what this whole course is designed to do. It's to increase your love and your relationship to Him. We have to get a solid Orthodox Christian understanding of the faith, the Christian faith. You know, out there, do you know how many Protestant denominations there are? Anybody? How many? Okay. Anybody really? Anybody have a clue? I guess. It's 30? 30. 30. 30. Okay. Anybody else?
In the world or in the future?
In the world. In the world. Michael?
Thousands.
Yeah. Give me a number. Pick a number. Pick a number.
20,000.
20,000. Huh? Somebody else? Okay. You know how many? 33,000 registered Protestant denominations.
Do you know different denominations?
33,000. 33,000 different types of a thirty-three thousand types, and they grow by 3,000 every year. So, what does that mean? Where do you stand in all of this? Where is your Orthodox faith? How can you explain, for example, the ever virginity of Saint Mary? We call her Mother of God, ever virgin. But yet, in the Bible it says she did not know Joseph until she had her firstborn. There's a way to understand things. You don't take one verse. So this course is designed to help you get just a tiny bit, just the tip of the iceberg of the major differences between us and every other type of Christian. Okay? This is the idea here. And you're going to have to do a lot of work thinking and trying to understand what in the world is going on and why are there 33,000 different Protestants, and that's besides the Orthodox families, that's besides what's going on in the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, so you got to be able to stand there and answer. Today I got a call from somebody who, a Protestant pastor, reached out to him. They want to contact me, they want me to come to their church, and they want me to talk about our church and talk about the things going on in Egypt. Okay? You know? Could I assign any of you to do that? Could you go? Why? You should be able to go. This is what I'm saying. You need, hopefully with this course, we're going to try to get just at least the basic understanding of what our theology dogma is. Okay? You need to grow in faith, in knowledge and relationship with the Lord. Okay? Here's the next part of the mission statement. Okay. This will happen. How is this going to happen? How are you going to get a solid Orthodox Christian education? How are you going to grow in faith? How are you going to grow in knowledge? How are you going to grow in relationship? This is how it's going to happen. Here's a formula for it's a formula for your growth. It will happen first by active. Active is the main word here. Active involvement in the liturgical life of the church. Active involvement. What does active involvement mean? When you're actively involved in something, it means that you are participating. You are asked to be participating in the liturgical life of the church. What does that mean? Liturgical life means hasheya, means tzedakah, means early morning before the liturgy, means vefcha, means spiritual day. It means any time that we come together as the body of Christ, I want you to be here. Because this is the only way you're going to get to know God in a real way. Okay? But try to eat, look at your schedules, try to figure out how to be here, at least for Hashem and Tzedakah. The last class that we graduated, they all basically came to Hashem and Mizbech every Saturday, most of the time, the majority of the time, for 2 years. And I know Saturday is a big deal. It's mall day, it's family day, it's birthday day, it's party day, it's wedding day. Okay, so we know that things happen. You know, if you have a wedding of your cousin, somewhere you have to go. Okay, but the idea here is, and I don't know if Dr. Mir, did you go over the contract?
I went over the requirements of the class. I went over the...
So not the contract?
Not the contract.
Okay, all right. So we'll go over the contract. So I need you to remember that the only way you're going to grow in faith, knowledge, and relationship is if you have some sort of way to see how the saints grew, to participate, and to experience God in the prayer, in liturgical life. When do you experience God? When you come to church, when you stand before Him with awe and reverence, when you stand there and you pray the prayers of the church. That's another thing. I don't want you to come to church and keep your mouth shut. I want you to pray. There's a part for the priest that I pray. There's a part for the deacon inside to pray. And there's a part for the congregation. I need you to pray. You gotta pray. You gotta be active. You can't just sit there and then wonder why you can't stand being in church, because it's so boring, it's so long. But come on, if you're not participating in any way, it's gonna be really, really boring. Okay? So I need you to remember that, okay? Involved in the liturgical life and of the church, and by participation in the means of grace. Anybody have an idea what means of grace mean? What does means of grace mean? The means of grace? What is grace? Anybody know what grace is?
God.
Yeah, it's the grace of God. But what is the grace of God? What is it?
Glory.
If you can give me a definition, yes, Mike.
The glory of God.
Glory of God.
His love or His blessing?
His love? Okay, you're getting warm. Blessings. I like that word, huh? His generosity. Okay, you both are like on the right track.
Mercy.
His mercy.
Like his.
Huh?
His, like, our freedom, like the way he, I don't know, the way he loves us.
No, of course, he loves everybody. And he gives everybody freedom. The people that believe in him and the people that don't. But when he gives you a grace, what does that mean? Mike?
Compassion.
He has compassion on everybody.
Having him inside of you.
Having him inside of you, no.
It's not
Power. Okay, you're getting warmer now. Power. His gift. His power. So when God puts grace on you, okay, He's now letting you into His mystery. He's letting you into a part of Him that is extremely unknowable. Completely unknowable. Alright? So, the participation in the means of grace means through Holy Communion, through confession, through prayer, through fasting, through the Bible. If you read His Holiness Pope Shenouda of Christ's Blessed Memory, if you remember, he wrote a book called Spiritual Means. Spiritual Means. He wrote a book, a whole book, just about spiritual means, or the means of grace. Actually, it's called Spiritual Meeting. Right? And in it, he talks about how a person can grow and attain the gift of God, to know Him through the means of grace, through the sacraments of the church, through the prayers, the liturgical life of the church. Okay? Alright. This program also will give the participants an opportunity to continue to build the kingdom of God on earth through service, one person at a time, by glorifying the Lord by word, by being His ambassador, and by serving the Lord with gladness. Okay? Serving the Lord with gladness. Okay? First, I have to remember that your duty here, not as servant, as a Christian, as a believer, is to continue to build the kingdom of God. And I don't mean stone and brick. I mean when you witness to one of your high school friends, your college friends, you're working, you're an adult and you're working, you witness to them, that is building the kingdom of God one person at a time through service. And sometimes there's ways we can do service, or we can bring people to God through the service. By offering, for example, like the poor people, for example. You offer them some food. You offer them a sandwich. Wow. They're all ears. They want to hear what you have to say. Okay? You help somebody on the street. This happened to me one time. I was walking by and I saw somebody in trouble, so I helped them. Okay? Like a flat tire or something or whatever. You know, of course, I don't want everybody to do this. You have to be wise. You have to see if there's a lot of people around, if it's at night, if you're a female, be wise. Okay? But what I estimated to be, it was safe, and I helped, and the person, it's like, oh, you do that for? I'm Australian, how many thousands of cars pass me? And he wanted to know more. You know? I was even driving one time. I went to Newark Airport, right? I went to Newark Airport, dropped somebody off. And then I parked the car first. So then to get out of the car at the Newark Airport, you have to pay for parking, right? So the guy, he was a black man, he took the money, he took the receipt, the ticket, and he's like, while I'm giving him the money, and he, small chap, ah, salam alaikum. The Muslim greeting, because of my beard. So I'm like, no, good morning. Good morning, no, I'm a Christian. I don't like this, I'm a Christian, no, no. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm a Muslim. I used to be a Christian. I said, oh, Lord, and I'm praying, Lord, what can I say to this guy? What can I say to him just to try to get one, just one person? Just what can I say to him? I have like 5 seconds left. He's printing out the receipt, he's counting my change, and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do here? I can't just leave him. I can't leave him. I have to say something. But if I say, here, take my number, he thinks I'm weird. You can't do that. You know, I've got to be careful. So what did I do? God sent me a thought. And this comes from studying. Okay? How did I know this thought that I'm about to tell you? Because I studied it. Okay? It says in the Quran that Isa ibn Maryam is going to come and judge the world. Aydin al-Adam. He's going to judge the world. So I asked him, what is he going to change? Who's supposed to judge the world according to your religion? And he said, God. I said, oh, good. Me too. God is going to come and judge the world. He said, oh, okay, good, good. So then why does it say in your Quran, Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus, son of Mary, will come and judge the world? Unless Jesus, son of Mary, is God. Thank you. Took my receipt and I went. So I have time to do that. Where is the guy now? Is he a Christian? Did he convert back? Is he still a Muslim? Is he alive? I don't know. But your job is, this is what service is. It's not standing in front of a group of people, talking to them, and feeling smart because you know a lot of stuff. That's not service at all. But it's to build the kingdom in the person. Remember what the Lord said? The kingdom of heaven is? Within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So you build the kingdom of heaven, you're building the person up. You get the idea? Alright, how do you do it back? You got to be able to do it by word. Your words have to be gentle. It cannot be. You can't have a word of cursing. You can't do that. You can't be joking loudly and obnoxiously. You have to say appropriate things. You have to be his ambassador. Meaning you have to represent the Lord in the way you dress, in your relationships. Okay, girlfriend, boyfriend garbage, none of that's allowed. Okay? In your way that you dress, like I said, in your relationships, in your Facebook, everything you do has to reflect that you are an ambassador. You're trying to build the kingdom of God because you're actively involved in the life of the church by participating in communion, confession, prayer, fasting, matanya, tefeha, liturgy, all these things, so that you can grow in faith, knowledge, and relationship, and understand the true Orthodox faith that the Lord Himself founded 2,000 years ago. I know it seems like it's a lot that we're hoping to do in this course, but it actually can happen. I've seen people transform. I've seen people transform from skeptics, from people that came in here just because their parents forced them to people that really started to think and love God. If you give it a chance. Okay? Don't walk out in the middle of class like that guy. I mean, have a word with him. Don't come late. Take this serious. Believe me, God's word changes people. God changes you. God can change all the stuff inside of you that's bad. And you see it. You see all the things. You see it all the time. So I need you to grow. Okay? Dr. Mary is the coordinator of the course. She went over some guidelines. You got a binder with a... Do you have a contract in there? Okay, the contract is in there. Okay, we're going to hopefully form an email group for you and a call them all group, which is one of those automatic messages. So it'll probably be me or Dr. Mary to give you like messages. You have in your notebook a spiritual schedule that's going to help you keep track of your spiritual life. Edbeya at least twice a day, confession, communion, tanya, fasting, spiritual book, all that stuff should be a part of your life. Not even as a servant, as a regular Christian. Growing in the knowledge of faith and love and fear of God. Okay? We're going to try to do some retreats together as servants and junior servants. Okay, we're going to try to do some sort of service activities like soup kitchens and things like that, by God's grace. We're going to ask you to meet in the summer, probably with us for about a 2 or 3 day seminar. We'll have lectures like maybe 4, 5, 6 hours a day, about 2 days or 3 days in the summertime. Okay, to cover a lot of the issues and clarify the major things that we can't get through without here. Too much material to get through. We're going to evaluate you periodically. So Dr. Mary is going to call you in to her office, okay, which has an electric chair in it. And she's going to say, very nice. But
I give you value.
Yes, of course. IV value. Okay. She's going to look at the quizzes, say, in the past 3 months, your quizzes are amazing. Wow. It's great, keep up the good work. Or if your attendance is horrible, where have you been? This way, you may not be able to complete the rest of the course. I can give you a project at the report. Okay? Your notebook will be examined from time to time by Dr. Mary. And for neatness, okay, for completeness, for note taking, okay, so no doodling, none of that stuff, okay? That tells us that there's nobody paying attention, right? Okay? I try to remind you always that it's not your right to be in the class, forgive me. It's a privilege to be here. You're invited to come, but there's rules that you have to accept in order to grow and so we can get to the goal that we all want. And then, I just want to say a little word to you. A word of encouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ picked 12 apostles, fishermen, okay, tent makers, tax collectors. Not really that holy or smart people. So if you're sitting there thinking, what in the world do you think I can do? I can't do anything. No. He picked the lowest of the people, and they turned into being the teachers of all the nations in spiritual life in God. So don't look at yourself now. Just remember, it's a growth. It's a work in process. So just follow our lead. Follow the program that we have down for you. And I guarantee you, in 2 years, you will be a completely different person. Completely. Okay? Got it? Any questions? Any comments? Just take a look at this verse. You don't have to write these verses down. This is just for contemplation. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. The service is giving your life, giving your time. So, yeah, there's a lot of times where you wouldn't want to be here. So guess what? You have to be. Saturday, during the summer, for example, or a nice spring day, everybody's going out barbecuing or the beach, and you got to tell your mom, you know, Mom, I'm going to stay. I'm going to go to service prep. I'm going to go to Asher. You are giving your life as a ransom. You are serving. You're not being served. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. A lot of times, people that enter into this type of course think that their work is going to be with good people. All of our work is with sinful people. Okay? Or people at least, they don't know anything. Little kids, for example, selfish little kids, you know, disobedient little kids, ones that beat each other up all the time, the troublemakers, the bullies. Okay, this is who you are. You're not going to find a class full of beautiful angels. No, then you don't need. Then you don't need a servant. A servant once was described as being a handkerchief, a white handkerchief that everybody wipes their hands on, and at the end, after everybody's wiped their hands, it's filthy. But everybody else is what? Mm-hmm. Clean. The sacrifice. You are taking upon yourself the burden, the difficulty, the evil of people for God's sake, so that you can teach them how to be close to God. You get the idea? Right? So that's this type, this verse. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What's that? A lot of times in the service, you're going to find that you want to do this, you want to do that. You have the best idea in the world. God is the one who directs us. It's not my will, but it's God's will. Okay? We'll explain to that. Explain to this again. More and more to the course. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Okay? What you're doing as a servant, or even just Christian, you're bringing the light of Christ, the light of knowledge. A lot of you are in high school, and there's a lot of sexual stuff going on around. But by your example of purity, you can teach them the light of purity, the teaching of Christ about purity, honesty, not cursing. I was at work, working with priests. In a brand new job, no nobody there, no time to socialize, so much work in the pharmacy. It was a company that I was working for. And then I had a break, so I went into the lunchroom, and I was heating up my soup or whatever it was. And then two other pharmacists came in, and they started joking around, and they started saying all these things. And then they were going to start to crack like really dirty jokes. So I'm just doing my own business, hi, I'm just at the microwave, and they're across the room. And the one of them says, no. And I heard them. No, don't say it. He's here. And pointed at me. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I don't know these people. I've just been there for like less than a month. I never socialized with them. They don't know anything about me. They don't know that I'm a servant. Maybe they know I'm a Christian because I have a little tiny cross on my desk. That's it. I didn't have signs say, don't curse around me. I'm better than you. No. So, you gotta be that light. That's how they learn not to curse or not to say dirty jokes. I never said a word to them. And I'm not saying this because I need a lot to learn about how to be a good light for people. But I'm just giving you a small example from my life. And I'm sure it's happened to all of you. Not anything special. that happened to me. Because you're all good people too. So show them the light, okay? I was born for this cause, and I come into the world, but I should bear witness to the truth. Always, always witness to the truth. You always have to be truthful. You always have to speak the truth of the Lord and speak about His Word. Okay? You can't, like, be wishy-washy. Somebody asks you about, Phil, what do you think about gambling? Like, your whole office, it's think about it. It's the football season and the Super Bowl. Everybody's betting on the Super Bowl, right? Or the big lotto, whatever, is up to like a record of like 15 billion or gazillion. And so everybody at work, they're like, come on, right? We're going to all try again. And it comes to my desk. I'm like, I don't do that. What do you mean? You don't bet? You don't do this? You don't do that? No, my belief. Okay. Why can the Muslims say what they want to say, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Buddhists, and all these people, and then us, we're afraid to say, no, you say it. Or when it's a Wednesday, and Merck, the company, pharmaceutical company, gives you a gourmet, free gourmet lunch, and it's Wednesday, and you're sitting there, picking at your wonderful, tasting, delicious lettuce. And everybody has chicken cordon bleu, and all the prime rib, and all this stuff. And you're just standing with a nice little piece of lettuce in balsamic vinegar. And you're smiling. And everybody's like chomping down on meat, and you're there with your salad. And you're like, what are you doing? Fast food. So I observe a fast every week on Wednesdays and Fridays. Hey, truth, speak it. Don't worry about it. This is the last one. You have your faith, and you've been here, and you are where you are because everybody before you has given you. I'm a priest, if you haven't noticed, because my Sunday school teacher, from when I was pre-K, my kindergarten teacher, my first grade Sunday school sermon, my second grade, my third grade, my fourth grade, my fifth, my sixth, my seventh, my youth leader, my priest, all were helping me being formed. They were giving me all the time. So this is saying, do not let your hand be stretched out to receive only, and close when it's time to give. Service at the bottom line, in such a very simple way, giving. Give. They gave you. What do you know about God? Did it come from you? No. It came from your mother, your father, your servants, your priests. They all gave. So when it comes for you to ask to be given, ask to give something back, give. Okay? Glory to God. Thank you for your time, effort, thank you for your time.
Next, keep in mind the first lecture, Abuna Abraham is the speaker and